Yeah, I think that's recording now. Okay, now, look, I think what we do, say, he's got to work because I did test it last night. You see, it didn't have anything. I'm getting agitated now. I'm getting very agitated now. Oh, no. That'll be right. That won't fall over. Okay, now, it really must be recording now. Mustn't it? It must. Okay, now I'll do the little ID again.
Yeah.
Now I think we're ready this time. The microphone's on.
On, yeah.
Okay, now what's the date today? Is it 21st?
21st.
Okay.
Of April.
21st of April 2006.
Six.
In an interview for the Whitehorse Historical Society with Mrs. Anne Van Hook.
Anna, yeah.
Anna Van Hook. The interviewer is Melanie Farrow, and I think that's all I need to identify the tape. So wheel away. Now, I was fascinated to learn that you said you were actually born in...
The Dutch East Indies.
The Dutch East Indies.
Which is called Indonesia now. Mm. My father was sent to the Dutch East Indies by the Shell Company. And my mom followed him a year later, and they started a family in Borneo, a place Balikpapan, which is called Kalimantan now. And every 4 years, my father and mother had a holiday back to Holland, paid by the company, for 6 months. But then the war came, and we were all interned by the Japanese for 3 years.
Three years.
And after the war, we were lucky that we came all together, and, you know, none of our family died during the war, and we went back to Holland.
So, let me get the time scale right. Your father, when did your father first go to... I'll have to call it Kalimantan because I'm not familiar with the other one. So when did he first go there?
In 1926. And Mum followed him in 1927.
27.
And their first child, my sister, was born in 1928. And I was born in 1929. And then my brother in 1931.
And so you were there all that time up until the war?
With holidays back to Holland.
And you were interned in 1942.
And we came out of the camp at the end of 1945.
That must have been a terrible experience.
It was. And but we were lucky that the whole family came out in one piece. And in 1946, by ship, we went back to Holland.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We stayed with family and all that until we got a house for ourselves, renting. Because Holland also came out of the war and there was a shortage of houses. Then my father went back, because he was still an employee of the Shell Company, his next job was Singapore. And he worked there for 5 years, and he was retired when he was 50.
So you said that you hadn't spent actually very long altogether in
Holland.
The Netherlands, no?
No.
So how many years, in fact, did you spend there?
8 years.
8 years. So,
80.
In fact, all your memories would be of Indonesia.
Indonesia. Yeah? I had a very good time in Holland because my high school was in Holland, which was a good time. But we didn't get any education during the war. We were not allowed, of course. So I still had to finish the last year of primary school when I went back to Holland and then started high school. Mm. And this is why I only have 3 years of high school, because by that time I was 19. And I went in 4 years in tertiary education and became a medical analyst, you know, working in a laboratory of a hospital. Yeah. Then I got to know my future husband, and we married, and we went back, we migrated to Australia.
And what made you decide Australia?
Well, Holland was overcrowded. There was not much future in Holland. So we were actually encouraged to go to Australia or Canada. We had a choice. My husband at the time was a medical student, only had to do 2 years and he would have been finished. But there were so many doctors already in Holland, and they encouraged him to finish his studies in Australia because there was a shortage here. But because it is a study that you can't do at nighttime, and he had to work for money, of course, he never finished his studies.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah.
But he got it anyway. He went into computers, became a computer analyst, or programmer, and that was the story.
So what made you decide, who were you actually encouraged by to?
By the government.
They were actively recruiting immigrants, in other words.
Yes. And lots of people also went to Canada. My sister migrated 2 years before us, and perhaps that's why we chose Australia. She could accommodate us for a year or so.
How long before had your sister migrated?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years before.
So it wasn't difficult. Was it difficult to make a decision between Canada?
No.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry to interrupt. When was that? After the war, so it took the early 50s or?
Then we migrated. We migrated in 54. We got married, Melanie, on the 3rd of July, and we left Holland by plane, but not by ship, by plane, on the 17th of July. And we are, at that time, every night you were not spending in the plane, but on Earth, and you stayed in a hotel.
So it must have been a very long trip.
Four days. Nowadays they do it in 24 hours, 4 days.
So what route did you take? You flew?
From Amsterdam to Karachi, then Bangkok, Manila, Biak, that is the eastern part of New Guinea, that was at the time still Dutch colony. Yeah. And from Biak to Sydney.
All right. Presumably you flew Dutch Airlines or?
Yes, KLM.
KLM, yeah.
And the plane was called the Constellation.
Constellation. Yes. And did you have to fund your own trip?
Yes.
You did. You got no support, not like the Italian migrants who were coming here.
Migrants got support, Melanie, but you were put on a list and you had to go by ship. Yes. Mm. And I think my father paid for this trip.
Your father?
Yeah.
And when you arrived, was your sister here to meet you?
In Sydney, we arrived in Kingsford Smith Airport, and she was there with her husband, and with a car. And we went back to Wollongong and lived in Wollongong for a while. And my husband had to take, of course, any job that was available. There were lots of jobs available in the steelworks in Wollongong. But Campbell, Wollongong.
That's right. I recall you told me your sister was coming to visit from Wollongong.
Yes.
I'm intrigued, though, by this plane journey. Was it very grueling? I mean, it's bad enough these days.
No, Melanie. There was, plenty of room. Only two seats next to, and two seats there. Seats were like this. And every night in a hotel was also exciting, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so in fact, it was probably more leisurely journey than...
Leisurely than nowadays, yeah. And more room in the plane, not as many people, of course, yeah. And
Anyway, sorry, I'm not wanting to interrupt you.
No.
But it did intrigue me, this plane journey. Now, your sister met you in Wollongong.
Yeah.
I mean, in Sydney.
In Sydney, and we drove by car to Wollongong to her place. Mm. She already had a house, her husband. And so we stayed there, Melanie, but migrating is very difficult to do. Of course, we had learned English at high school, but to speak a second language is a different matter. You would think and then start to speak, and in a conversation you think, oh, I better mix in this conversation, because, and by the time you put your effort to talk, they already changed the subject.
Yeah.
But you learn. And if I would have a chance, of course, to do my life over again, I would never be a migrant anymore.
Wouldn't you?
No. I would like to be a born Australian, because this is the best country to live in. But to be a migrant is difficult, Melanie.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I don't speak any other languages, but I have tried to learn them, and it's very, very difficult. And is that what you found to be the most... I was going to ask you what your impressions of Australia were when you arrived.
Oh, very good, Melanie. People were so friendly, but I think homesickness comes in. About 3 years, I suffered. You miss your family, your friends, and all that. You feel very deserted that way. Although I've been so lucky with my neighbors, they were really always lovely to me here. Especially the neighbors here in Blackburn.
Mm. But still, in a way, you've been a migrant twice, because you were first in Indonesia, and then to Holland. And I mean, you wouldn't have had a lot of friends, perhaps, in Holland.
No, all my aunts and uncles, of course, and nieces and nephews. That was also, but you had no language problem, you see. Holland, that was also difficult. Holland, it was at the time so narrow-minded, especially in the religious part, and Indonesia was free and all that. Of course, the climate you had to get used to. But the narrow-mindedness in people was a bit difficult. Mm. But we got used to it.
So, I mean, in Indonesia, did you mix in a large expatriate Dutch community, or did you?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. And Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
But because my father worked for the oil company, we were always in little places, and Mom would teach us, say, religion, just stories out of a children's Bible, and I still remember them. There were no churches in the neighborhood, but we still had but not the strictness that was in Holland. Melanie, you had to go to church every Sunday, you know? And if you didn't, you know, one of the elders would visit you during the week. Why were you not in church?
What denomination is that?
Protestant. But that's all, you know, evened out in Holland as well. People are not going to...
Well, I mean, they're known now, aren't they, for being a very liberal society.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too liberal, I think.
So, I mean, I gather from what you've been saying that the biggest problem you had was language.
Up here.
In Australia.
Yes, and no family around me. Melanie, in the beginning. You know what I mean? Relatives, Mom and Dad were in Holland. Because when I got married, I stayed with Mom and Dad until I got married. That's different from what they do nowadays.
So you had... Imagine... Sorry, Kat.
Yeah, you see.
No, you go.
So perhaps I was overprotected before I migrated, so something like that, yeah. You missed your family, yeah. That, and of course, the language. But there were quite a few migrants that had the same problem. It also took me, it worried me that I had an accent, but not anymore, not because I think 40% of Australia have an accent, isn't it?
Yeah, but you had your sister, but you hadn't seen her for 2 years, had you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was quite, and that's the only support you had really when you arrived, was your sister, and she'd married an Australian?
No, a Dutchman.
A Dutchman, yeah.
But then we stayed in Wollongong for 2 years, and then we went to Geelong because my husband got a job by the Shell company in the laboratory, which was more in his line than working in the steelworks. So we went to Geelong, Melanie. And then from Geelong, he got a job in the computer at ICI here in Melbourne. That we came to this place in 1958.
When you came to Whitehorse?
Nullawading. And I'm still here. 40. We arrived in Nullawading one day before Anzac Day, so the 21st of April, 24th of April, 1958. So 48 years in this house.
Goodness. And so really your moves have been were associated with your husband's work. You know, the move to Geelong was work-related.
Work.
And then also the move...
to Melbourne.
To Melbourne. But what about to Whitehorse? Was that work-related or you just liked the area and you had a look?
Yes, we had friends living in this area and we liked it, especially the lake area and all the trees around us. Yes, that's why we chose it.
Mm. And has it changed much?
Yes, a bit.
A bit?
The roads were not made. There was no sewerage. Of course, there had no phone in the house, so you had to go to a phone booth at the end of the street. Fortunately, this house was already built, and it had a septic tank, so it was not too bad. had lovely neighbors. They came, they helped us a lot, Mr. and Mrs. Cottingham. And Mrs. Cottingham is now in a nursing home, and we often talk about olden days, because when we arrived in this house, they had Venetian blinds, and later on in years, she said, "Anne, I said to my husband, Bob, they have a dog, you know, we had a dog, and they are Dutch." So that became the best of friends, and yeah.
And was there a large Dutch community in the area? Or?
No, there was
not.
People over the road were Dutch, yes.
And did you find you were seeking out other Dutch people? Or
no.
You were happy to blend in?
Yes. We wanted to blend in and learn the language and be part of the Australians, yes.
Mm. And what if I can ask you, what did you like? You said you liked the trees, but was there anything else that you particularly liked about this area, apart from the...
It gave a nice feeling. And also, to compare Melbourne with Sydney, we found the climate is more, you know, European. You have the cold weather, you have a little bit of the warm weather, but Sydney was always warm most of the time, yeah.
Mm. And what do you, is there anything that perhaps annoys you a little more that you don't like about the area?
Not really.
Not really, I didn't think there would be so.
No. And, you know, there was not a large shopping center like there is now. Mm. So we had to do our shopping, weekly shopping, in Blackburn itself. There was a a shop called Anstey's. My husband and I, we would do that on Saturday morning. We had no car yet, so we used to, you know, have the children in a pusher and walk through the lake area to Blackburn. And but you know, the roads were made. I think my eldest son was about 6, and that was good. And the sewerage and all that. My husband built that part of the house on because we got our younger son 10 years later. But I had lovely neighbors. She helped me a lot.
Would you say that it was your neighbors and support like that that you got the most benefit from?
Yes, yeah. I did.
And were they Australians or were they
Australians?
They were Australians.
Australians.
Yeah. Mm.
Flora and Bob Cottingham. She would help me with so many things. And also, she said, she laughed a lot about the mistakes I made in my language. No, but she said, "Anne, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you." Because I had to explain her about, you know, wire, near the fence, wire. And I didn't know that word in English, so I translated exactly the word in that, what you would say in that. And I said, "You know, Flora, iron string." She laughed. And Melanie, we had, how you call it? The trees with the, I can't get to the English word. Trees in the yard, in the front yard, full bottle trees, that was it. And one morning I saw a big white witching grub in the tree, and it gave me a shock. And I went to Flora, and I said, "Flora, there is a big animal in the tree." That I knew that it was for the animal world. And she said, "Anne, with 4 legs," she said. So she taught me a lot. Yeah.
Well, I might just stop that back.
Blackburn Lake School. And then Joanne followed, and my other son. And there was a high school where the shopping center is now. See? The J Shopping Center. Part of it was high school, and now there's all houses being built there.
Mm. So you have seen a lot of changes in 48 years.
Oh, yes. And then a bus service through the street.
Mm.
That came.
Yeah. And you had a bushfire here too, didn't you?
Yeah, I can't remember when that was. The children were already... there has been quite a bushfire. Yeah, that I packed my bags and we were sitting here and we had to leave. We had to leave.
Goodness.
Fortunately, I was driving the car then.
So where did you go?
Just to another streets in Blackburn, further away.
Oh,
in the Blackburn Lake area. Yeah.
Mm.
And by the time I also had the bird sitting with the cage on the back seat.
Yeah. So has it changed for the better, do you think, this area?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Well, the convenience of a main road, shopping center close by, all that, and a bus service to station. Yeah.
Mm.
That is more convenient. But
there'd be a lot more houses now, surely.
A lot more houses. Perhaps it was a bit more one big family before, because like New Year's Eve, we would make a big bonfire. Everybody was bringing their old tires from, you know, and rubbish to an area in the Blackburn Lake, and we would make a bonfire. Yeah.
And of course that would be highly illegal now.
Yes. On an open spot, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And you said you were naturalized in
54 we arrived, so 5 years later we could apply for it.
Mm.
And that was done in the evening, and Flora and Bob afterwards asked, you know, the neighbors together to celebrate it.
Mm. How many were actually at the naturalization ceremony?
I can't remember.
Many?
Quite a few, maybe, yeah. Mm. Perhaps about 50, I think, yeah.
Mm. And you had no second thoughts? You thought, no, this is what we want to do?
I had a little bit of second thoughts, but my husband was determined. You know, like I said, we are living in this country, we want our children to be growing up here, and we should be naturalized.
Mm. And what was your greatest fear about being naturalized?
It was just a sentimental feeling, you know, my own queen and all. And that was a bit silly, because it doesn't make any difference to your feelings. No.
No. Mm-hmm. Do you have any nostalgia for the Netherlands,
Not anymore. I've been back 7 times, and I'm always called this my home country now.
Yeah. 7 times?
I've been back to Holland, mm-hmm. yeah, to see my parents and all that. And my husband and I, we did a tour through Europe once. And I must admit, my first time back to Holland was after 19 years. Mm-hmm. And of course, we were still in our penny-pinching days. And my parents paid our trip.
Oh, that's very nice.
That was good, yes. Mm. Yeah. But you don't feel part of Holland, of the Dutch people anymore when you're in Holland? No. They have changed as well.
Mm.
Not for the better.
What's happened there that you...
So modern thinking and, yeah, too aggressive, all that, yeah. Religion doesn't take part anymore, and that's no good either, is it? Churches are empty. And, well, Holland was so conservative before, you know, too conservative, when we arrived in Holland after the war. Yeah.
And now you think it's gone too far the other
too
way?
Too far the other way.
Mm.
But perhaps that's all over the world, I don't know.
Yes, so
excuse me, Melanie.
Okay.
I think you must be going outside.
Kees had to work at any job, and Australia needed people, labor people, not professional people. So he went to the steelworks and worked as a laborer there. Yeah, and being, you know, a medical student, that was quite hard for him, but. In hindsight, I think it is also good for your own makeup. In hindsight, eh? That you go through a difficult time.
And I mean, you did find that time difficult.
In a way, for him it was to do that work, but earning money was, you know, important. And he did overtime and what they call doublers or something.
So what sort of labouring was he doing? You said the steelworks.
Steelworks, yeah. Feeding the furnaces, everything, you know, the, how you call it, the fires and all that, yeah.
Mm. And I beg your pardon, this was in Wollongong, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Port Kembla is where the steelworks is part of Wollongong. Mm. And we lived with my sister for about 8 months, and then we were able to rent a garage in somebody's backyard, and we lived in the garage. But we made it really livable. And that is also where my first child, I got pregnant, Melanie, and my first child is born in Wollongong, was born in Wollongong. And we lived in the garage with the baby for a few months. And then my husband got his job in Geelong at the Shell company. So
And you did tell me, but I've forgotten, I'm sorry, that the job in Geelong was a medical analyst.
Here. He's a medic. Oh.
In Geelong.
I am.
You're the medical analyst, right?
Yeah.
And in Geelong, what job did he get? When you moved to Geelong?
In a laboratory of the Shell Company.
In the laboratory?
Laboratory, yeah. Which was more in his line, right? Mm. And then eventually, he wanted to study further, but he had to go to Melbourne for that. And he got a job at the ICI in the office. And so gradually he built himself up.
Mm. And did you work as a medical analyst in...
Here, not here.
Not in Australia? No.
I was so clever, I got pregnant straight away. There was no pill yet. The idea was that I would go to work, but couldn't. So I became a mum and I'm still a mum.
No disgrace there.
No disgrace.
No, not at all. No. Not at all.
I've never worked back, Melanie. When the children were all at school, I thought, and my mother in Holland, after she was going close to becoming 80 years, and I thought I would want to be in Holland when she turns 80. And so I went to the council, and I had this home help job. I was sent to only twice a week to two elderly ladies, and that was good for me. Yeah. Further on, I joined a tennis club in Blackburn, and that was terrific, Melanie. So I only worked at the council for 2 days in a week. 2 days tennis, and that was my life.
That sounds like a good life.
So I got the money together without upsetting the family budget to go to my mom's 80th birthday.
It's very enterprising of you. Yeah. And you saved up the whole fare?
Yeah.
Working
home. Of course, in Holland, I stayed with my parents, so there was no money needed for that part. But that was terrific, yes. Mm.
And what about the rest of your family? You had a sister who's still here.
Yeah.
And you had a younger brother?
Younger brother is in Holland.
In Holland,
yes.
Yeah. Do you ever see them now?
Yeah. Every time when I went back to Holland and my parents had passed away, I stay with them.
So how long ago now is it since you've been back?
2 years ago.
2 years.
And I think that's the last time, Melanie. Yeah.
Oh, why is that?
When I left Holland, I thought, no, I'd like to come back just once more. But now I've got second thoughts. The journey, then you start to feel that you are getting older, although you don't want to admit it, your body tells you. You get tired very quickly.
Mm. It is a long trip.
Trip. But perhaps I squeeze in another time, I don't know. But the last time I flew, I shouted myself on a business class trip. Oh, and that makes a difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to start to think you can't take your money with you. It's there for your convenience, isn't it? Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm not rich, Melanie, but I can live my lifestyle,
yes,
and that is all that
that's
matters.
Important. And I mean, it must have been very, very difficult for a young couple where the husband has trained almost as a doctor.
Yeah.
For you to be living in a garage, you know. I mean, that's.
Yeah. But Melanie, you know what a what makes it easier?
Mm.
That most people were in the same boat.
Mm.
You are not the only one. You know, that makes a difference.
In those early days, though, did you have misgivings about what your life would be in Australia?
What do you mean, Melanie?
Well, did you think, oh, have we done the right thing?
No.
You didn't?
We always thought, when you are young and you have a difficult time, in your thinking, you always think, there comes another time. If life is difficult when you are old, I think that is extra difficult, but not when you are young and you are determined to reach a certain standard. You get there.
And you came here, did you, with a definite, you know, you were determined to make a go of it. That was
yours. Yes. And also my husband, he was a hard worker. He was brainy and yet also very clever with his hands by building on the house, renovating Melanie, because we had such a, it was a well-built house, but not very enthusiastic about, you know, that was a room and a wall and like a box, square box. So he opened this wall here, Melanie, and this was a bedroom actually. And so the lunch room was larger because we used to have our meals in the kitchen and that was okay, but this is better, isn't it? And he opened that, so we have a hallway and put that in. Oh, yes, we've never been sorry that we migrated to Melanie, never. You know, my husband's parents, especially his mom and my father, from, you know, they're always trying to put you in a certain direction. And I think if we would have stayed in Holland, those two would have, you know, made our life perhaps a little bit difficult. Well, being so far away from your family, you had to battle for yourself and had your own choice. Yet you missed your family as well, you know, your relatives and all that. But perhaps this was better. You could do what you wanted.
So you thought perhaps you gained a little freedom.
And in difficult times you had no interference of parents. So that was it in a good way.
I suppose that's the upside.
But we also a little bit fortunate. Like buying this house, you needed a deposit. And we were lucky. My father helped us with the deposit, which we gradually, you know, would pay back. Otherwise, if you're just on a weekly wages, how do you get a deposit for a house when the wife is not working? That's true.
It's true.
So we were in that way. And my parents came to see us, and also my husband's parents.
And when did they come out? Some years ago?
Dad came, my mom and dad in 58, and in... they came back about three times, Melanie. And Casey's parents twice. So my husband's parents,
Well, that's a fascinating story, and I'm filled with admiration, you know.
Because that's good, Melanie, that's good.
Not only that, but I have Scottish friends. Thank you very much. I'll formally thank you on the tape, and then I'll turn the
that's
table.
That's a pleasure.